Alright, hello everyone and welcome to DJM's Diversity Pod, and we are back here with another episode, and we seem to have taken a little bit of a break from, you know, last week, where we were talking about social anxiety, mental health, how to cope with anxiety, mental health within the workplace. There were some very useful tips and tricks in there for you to use. So, what we should do is tell you to go check it out. So go and check out that podcast on Podbean via the Diverse Jobs Matter website. Anyway, back into the present. This week we are going to be talking about periods. And I can already feel some of you cringing. Or, you know, making that weird little face of discomfort. And the reason why we're doing that is because we want to take the taboo out of talking about periods. And yes, that is a massive mouthful. You know, in DJM's continuing effort to understand how female health issues can affect employment and career opportunities and, you know, workplace morale, particularly for those individuals who do get periods, is something that should be talked about. It's not something that should be hidden in a silent conversation, or it's only conversation for women to have. Because if we shape the conversation in that way, then the people who don't get periods will never be involved and will never actually understand the consequences of mitigating such a conversation. This episode is going to be a part of the Featuring Female Health series, which in the first episode we spent some of our time talking about menopause. Continuing on the reproductive health train, of course, we are talking about periods. There are a range of different symptoms, and they are absolutely on a spectrum, much like something that we discussed with menopause. And many women can deal with them in different ways. Sometimes people need medical assistance, sometimes people may need over-the-counter assistance, or assistance or company from another individual, or they may not need anything at all. Again, the idea of the spectrum is something very important. Thinking about things with periods in regards to black and white or binaries is something that is never going to be effective here. And it is very important to notice that women are not the only individuals who can have periods. It is essential to understand and remember that trans men, intersex individuals, genderqueer and non-binary individuals can also have periods, and there is no need to discriminate against them or assume that they cannot have them. And these individuals who are a part of the LGBT community are often actually omitted and not considered for any benefits or amenities or rights with regards to period movements, because it is assumed that, you know, it is something that is only associated with biological women. And that is not right. It goes without saying, particularly in certain cultures more than others, that periods are a very taboo topic of conversation. They have been something to be ashamed of or something to be hidden for as long as I can remember in my personal life as well. Is a life event or an occurrence that should be, you know, dealt with subtlety, apparently, in quiet quarters. And this is not relegated to the family and couples and parents teaching their children. It's actually also in schools, universities or workplaces as well. So it's not something that is only taboo within certain cultures or in the private realm or private sphere, but rather it is something that is also a problem within the public environment. So in some ways that you can actually say that this is a universal issue. In some cultures it is known that periods are something that should be ashamed of, and in some cases disgusting, impure, and that certain women or people should be shielded away from, especially with regards to public discussions. Here at DJM, we want to change this narrative. is absolutely something that should not be ashamed of. It is something that we should be able to talk completely openly about. And people do need to stop treating it as if it is something shameful, or as if some impurity is leaving your body. As coming from a religious community, I know that this tends to be the case with regards to menstruating, when in actuality, it is just a cyclical bodily function that occurs every single month. Alright, I think it's always important to start. What on earth is a period? And I know I'm going to be speaking in a, you know, to a majority adult audience, and many people will know what a period is. And as I say that statement, I don't necessarily believe it, because believe it or not, there are a lot of people who didn't want to know about periods, so actually, they don't know what a period is. But anyway, a period is a part of a woman's menstrual cycle. Essentially, a woman bleeds, shedding her ovarian lining, discarding any unfertilized egg from her body. These cycles in a woman can range between 21 to 40 days. And, you know, not every woman will have a normal process or such a regular process with regards to their menstruation. There can be certain differences that fall outside this range that may be concerned with certain medical issues. For many women, the days of menstruation can last between 3 to 8 days, and some women can experience them for even longer. There are various symptoms and external diagnoses to menstruation that can affect a woman's health and general well-being. So what are some of the psychological, emotional and physical symptoms associated with a period? Well, many women undergo symptoms called PMS, and they are premenstrual symptoms. Now, the ones that we are going to draw upon here are going to be taken from the NHS or the Healthline website. Some examples include bloating, muscle tenderness, mood swings, hot flashes, abdominal cramping, fatigue, back pain, headaches, and breakouts. There are certain conditions that can affect a woman's or a person's period and make them a little bit more challenging to deal with. And two conditions I want to mention here right now are endometriosis and PCOS. I am not going to go into the scientific detail at the moment, but it is something that you can actually look up and see if it is something that, you know, affects you or affects someone that you know. Also, taking certain contraceptive pills or other medications such as antidepressants, and of course it's not limited to the ones that I'm mentioning, can affect your hormones and can affect the cycle of a woman's period, from making the bleeding heavier to making it a lot lighter. There are also women who naturally get irregular or missing periods yet still have the physical or hormonal symptoms that are associated with menstruating but don't actually get the physical bleeding. So there are a lot of diverse cases as to what can happen to an individual when they are menstruating, and as you can see, it's not necessarily an easy road. It sometimes is physically, psychologically and emotionally draining for that person kind of undergoing through that process, and it happens on a regular basis. I want to provide some food for thought that I thought was particularly interesting, talking about why periods may be so taboo throughout an individual's life. Some things to think about is that many girls start their periods, and this is of course the average, some girls start a lot earlier, some girls start a lot later, is that around the age of 11 to 12 when a girl or an individual who has periods starts them, they are at the beginning of their secondary school experience if you're living within the United Kingdom. And the interesting thing here is that there is an air of scarcity, subtlety, and quietness about how girls should address and deal with their periods. Many girls are told to deal with them quietly because boys at that age may be too immature to handle it. And this conditioning of keeping it quiet because boys may be too immature, or it's something that you should just be quiet about, is something that is conditioned again and again throughout that school experience and throughout education, you know, at the behest of how will the boys react. You don't want them to make fun of you or shame you, or you never know what other girls might say about you. This culture of he said, she said, what will they say, becomes quite prevalent. And this can continue for certain women as they enter university, and it is something that may be upheld in their personal lives via their family or partners, or just something that they think is shameful for themselves because it's been taught, which is actually very, very upsetting. And to the point that I wanted to get at, women may start believing that this is how they should deal with their periods in the workplace. Now, I'm not saying that a woman should go around screaming bloody murder whenever she has her period, but I don't think that she should be penalised if her work output is affected, or if she may need a few extra minutes of break or using the bathroom, or if, and I think one of the big ones for me is having to hide your sanitary product as you're going to the bathroom, because nobody should ever know that you are taking a supposed walk of shame to the bathroom because you're on your period. And I've had this experience before, and I thinking back to it, I just think it is something that is utterly ridiculous. Now, if periods are somewhat of a bodily or private matter, then why are we taking the time to talk about how it affects people in the workplace? And this is a question that I have actually been asked before, and the reason why is because there are many exciting regulations to take into consideration when discussing periods within the workplace, and it can range from, you know, workplaces discussing parameters on how to deal with pain, days off, sanitary products being in the bathroom, bathroom uses and extended breaks are little things, or not even little, they're just things that are in discussion at workplaces about any sort of allowances, amenities and benefits that can be provided for individuals who have these menstruation cycles regularly or even irregularly. So the underlying factor here is that workplaces need to acknowledge that periods can actually be challenging. And the main object here is to, you know, remove the stigma of this being something that should be dealt with quietly, personally, and that it is something that is taboo or embarrassing. So, one of the underlying questions here we got to ask ourselves is, can you actually create a menstruation or period-friendly workplace? Well, one of the most expansive campaigns that women's rights group are running at the moment is their advocacy for free amenities or free sanitary products that should be included in large-scale workplaces and educational institutions. For those of you who are keeping up with the news, you may know that in Scotland, schools that are public are actually now being provided free sanitary products for their staff and students, which is a brilliant jump forward in addressing and making, you know, the school environment a little bit more fair for those undergoing it at that time. Many women believe that, you know, free period products, sanitary towels, tampons, should not be considered an amenity at all. Rather, it should be an essential requirement for employers to have them available within the bathroom for women to use. Employers would have to, you know, see whether they are able to afford the product. Of course, that is something that they have to take into consideration. But this is a fundamental bodily function that most women, trans men, intersex, genderqueer or non-binary individuals have on a somewhat regular basis. And this should not be considered an amenity when, you know, many organisations will have the funds available to actually fulfil this requirement. And one thing that has been flagged up for me to consider and that I do want to ponder on and talk about in this podcast is, are these amenities not being provided because the people who are making decisions in these large offices are men? Maybe they do not understand the necessity of having these products within an office bathroom because they do not go through this monthly menstruation cycle on a monthly basis. I think that is definitely something to consider. In a previous article where I addressed menopause, I touched upon how workplace environments can affect a woman's disposition or, you know, behaviour, and how it can make her extremely uncomfortable when her environment is something that can affect her work output. Another thing that certain employers are starting to consider is whether women should get period sickness days because the symptoms are too difficult to handle at times, particularly within the first few days when a woman begins to menstruate. When looking at this from an employer's perspective, it is understandable that why this may be undoable, because scheduling and rotating employees according to a biological clock can be a little bit challenging and fragmented. But in the case of some of these more intense symptoms, you know, there should be maybe allowances or other provisions that could be put in place to maneuver the workplace to make it more comfortable and less embarrassing. Maybe if you cannot give solid sickness days, what you could do instead is give them the chance to work from home on those days, or give them sick leave if it's something that, you know, that can be organised. If they have to come in, give them prolonged breaks. Or maybe leaving early or starting late could be a consideration. Providing those free products in the bathroom, especially if it starts unexpectedly. Or, you know, going through a source of training to see what methods, or having interviews with the women in a comfortable space or environment, could also be another suggestion to see whether we can make an environment that is a lot more comfortable for women. What I want to do there is just leave it there. I want everyone to ponder and think about all the things that have been discussed in this week's podcast, and let me know if you have any suggestions as to how you think a workplace can become a lot more period positive. Because for something that is so regular and supposedly normal in an individual's life, it is something that is still so stigmatized and tabooed that people do not talk about it. Right, I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to see you next week, or maybe sooner than next week, you never know, about biases. We're going to be talking about different recruitment biases and talking about how they can affect the process and how to actually mitigate them. That is going to be a long and exciting piece that will be useful for all of you professionals out there. I can't wait to hear your feedback on this. I will see you guys very, very soon. This has been Noor, and this is DJM's Diversity Pod out.